The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Hallelujah. Amen. This is School of Life. Amen. We give glory to the name of God. And for me, I wake up every day in awe of God, seeing the way He's so committed to making the best out of us. Hallelujah. I just want us to wave our hands to Jesus for one thing again. We are changing. Hallelujah. Can I say, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. A measure of work has been done in us. It's not easy to fall in love with Jesus. Something must have met you. A work must have been done. Even in the little measure that you have now, I know there are still many miles to cover, but we will not but appreciate God for the one He has done in us. Amen. Amen. We have been looking at the effects of entrance into the realm of the Holy Ghost and His gift, and we are currently at the eighth part. This is part eight of that series. When a man comes to the world of the Holy Ghost or wears the name of the Holy Ghost, there's an effect you see. There is a product you will see. Hallelujah. Just like in the question and answer, how do you know that somebody is growing? How do you know that a tree is matured, is ripe? You will see its fruits. There is a fruit we will see when we know that this person is wearing the name of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And for the apostles, they look out for that, to know that this believer is ready for the next level of the journey. Hallelujah. So we have come to know that Christianity is not just coming to church. It's a journey unto a being. A journey unto a being that does not happen when we die. It's a transaction, a spiritual transaction, a mystery of an understanding that happens between you and connects to the invisible God that is real. Hallelujah. God is not just invisible and you can't touch Him. God is tangible and God is real. Hallelujah. Now, Holy Ghost begins that job to help us know that we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That your coming to church is not just for coming to church. You can touch God. Amen. You can pray to God and you can know that God hears you. Some people pray and they just pray without, they don't believe God. They pray for religious purposes. But you can pray and know God can hear you. And you know what? It gives you joy to know that you have the liberty, you have the pedestal to speak with God. Because on the norms, whatever the devil has done to man does not give man that right to open mouth and lift up holy hands to Jesus. But we thank the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made it possible again to know that I can say words with faith in my heart, and I know I am connecting to an invisible reality. Hallelujah. And then an effect can show in my life. That is what the Holy Ghost came to train us to do. So if you are still saying speak in tongues and you are still struggling, you have not yet tapped into the resources that the Holy Ghost brought. You need to know God is real. And so Holy Ghost begins that training by baptizing us first. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4 this morning. I just want us to know that there is no time you talk about the Holy Ghost that He just goes. His manner, He carries a presence. And then He will scatter you. And then He will rearrange you again. He will make you laugh. He will make you cry. He will make you scream. He will make you groan. That is His manner. And all that is to knock off your senses and open you to the true world where you belong. Amen. Because man's senses are actually his limitations most times. So it's by Holy Ghost they knock off those senses. I love the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Amen. Okay. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Said, moreover, brethren, that's from verse 1 again, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Amen. Of course, there's a preaching of the gospel. There's a declaration of the gospel. Amen. Why they come to say the things they have said again is that they are looking for something. It's like you are adding nourishment to a plant so that it can produce. There's something you are looking for. You put a seed in a soil, you keep watering. So declaration is the bringing in of more of those words to bring forth an effect. There's an effect we want to see. Hallelujah. That's why Apostle Peter will say it's not grievous for us to say these things over and over again. That you preach, you can hear. But when it comes to declaration, they say that which we have seen, that which we have heard, which we have seen and have handled, declare we unto you. Hallelujah. So to bring about declaration, it takes a process. And there's a process they are looking at. So they will not just stop at preaching it to you. Amen. Because they want your knowledge to be translated into understanding. Hallelujah. You know that the Dimeji said that there is a knowledge you gain. Knowledge is a theory of God's love. Then understanding is the practical aspect. Some of us know theory, but we can't use it for our living. We can't use it as practical. Amen. So until it gets to understanding. So this man of God knows what he was saying. Said, we declare unto you what we have preached to you before. Because we know that by preaching, you have just gained knowledge. But to declare it again is that we want it to be fortified. And we saw the effects in that same verse. Which I preach unto you, which also ye have received. Hallelujah. There's a point where we know a believer has received the word. Hallelujah. If there's somebody you are always begging, brother, you have to come to this meeting. This meeting is for you. This meeting is good for you. And all of a sudden, you just realize that he's always the first person to get to church. He will be the last person to go. He always wants to hear. He's always with his jotter. He's always asking questions. Don't you know that something has happened from that brother that you were trying to follow up to come to meeting? What have produced it? A walking has gone on. Now, this working, we don't readily see them. And that's where the mystery of God's word comes in. Holy Ghost comes bringing the words of Jesus that is potent to save any man. I tell you, the word of God is powerful. And Holy Ghost has it in abundance to help a believer begin his journey unto salvation. Amen. He said, which also ye have received. May we receive these words we have been hearing. Amen. And wherein ye stand. Hallelujah. For them to stand, it means they have been using that walk to walk. Hallelujah. For them to now stand, to stand for the truth you believe, you would have walked with it for some time. Amen. So this apostle saw, he said, by which also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory. Now, this experience you have had that we are declaring now, you will be saved if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. It is possible to believe and then your believing does not yield fruit. So they come and keep declaring so that your eyes can be on salvation. Hallelujah. God has only one promise to man, is the promise of eternal life. And that is what we call eternal salvation. Amen. Amen. For God, it is eternal life. For us, it's eternal salvation because we need to be saved fully. Or we need to emerge as whole. Amen. Amen. Say, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. How? Can we say how? How that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. I like the how. There is a how he died. There is a manner that cuts across it all. So what the believers are preaching is not just cross. They are looking at a manner of laying down of his life through obedience. Amen. So this was the first thing the Holy Ghost helped the apostles to generate in the people so that their faith can be put in the Lord Jesus. Our faith must not be in any other. Hallelujah. So whatever the Holy Ghost was doing with the apostles in that book of apostles was to produce something. There's an effect they want to see in all the believers. Amen. Why? Because it's not ordinary for men to put their faith or trust in the Lord Jesus. Because men have depended on other sources before. Before you were not living by faith. And you were living by a kind of faith, but not in the Lord Jesus. Not in the Lord Jesus. You believe that when you go to work, you will earn and feed your family. It's a kind of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. That faith cannot save. But to believe in the Lord for a change of nature is primary. Because the word of God contains a force, contains a working, such that when you receive it, you just realize that you are enabled and energized to turn. Hallelujah. What will turn an injurious man into a lover, a man of mystery? Word has worked. You can't hear Jesus and remain the same. You can't hear Jesus and you will not fall in love with him. You can't hear the voice of his word and things on inside you will not be altered. Hallelujah. So people want to depend on other things for their future. But Holy Spirit will begin to train you, give you a heart, a pedestal to believe Jesus, who can truly show you future. Because our future is God. Future is not heaven. Future is God. Before God created heaven and earth, he had already had his thoughts about man and has made his promise. So he's not promising us what he created. He's promising us his own life that he had before creation of heaven and earth. So don't look at wanting to attain it to a place. Look at wanting to embody beings. So the message was to generate men, putting their faith in the Lord Jesus, and then love unto all the saints. So we'll see it in the epistles. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints. No, Pastor Dimeji said it there. Even allocation of Holy Ghost, which is the milk of Jesus, has his own love. Now, this love unto all the saints is not the charity we are talking about. Hallelujah. Every believer must begin with love. And so they will preach the word of faith to you until your faith is able to generate a kind of love. Hallelujah. You know that this love is not a nature you are trying to do. It's a nature that you have come into. So when we say name of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, when you are baptized, the effect we see is that you have faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. They will not preach, go and sell your things. By the reason of the preaching of that faith, of the allocation of the milk of Jesus, it just produced love. People just found energy. Remember they said that they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Look at it, Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Hallelujah. So when you hear fellowship, it means it's not just you and Jesus. It will be you and brethren. It will be you and saints. Hallelujah. So there's a doctrine that battered being bound together. It doesn't matter if you're Hausa or Igbo. Hallelujah. That thing begins to wash you. Even though when they start revealing Christ later, you may find yourself struggling. Hallelujah. Like our fathers who believe, everywhere, all one. But when the sister comes home and says, I want to marry an Igbo guy, they start fighting. Hallelujah. But you know what Holy Ghost does? Holy Ghost lets you know that this person is my brother as long as he's bought by the blood of Jesus. Amen. And so it takes away all that barrier. It's Holy Ghost that begins that training for any man. Amen. Acts 2:20-32. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was left in hell. His soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. So the Holy Ghost was given to them to witness the resurrection of Jesus. So there is a part of the message, hallelujah, that is about resurrection. That Jesus was raised from the dead according to the scriptures. When this preaching is preached, and you saw that death could not hold Jesus back in the grave, that builds your faith or stirs up your faith that sin cannot be a forever problem. Hallelujah. He went to the cross and died for sin. Can we say for sin?
For sin.
So there is answer to sin. No matter how it looks like your own wants to choke you, there is an answer to sin. So when they preach the Lord Jesus, they make you see that you can kill the nature of flesh by believing that Jesus died for sins. Amen. Amen. So that generated the faith of the people in the Lord Jesus. When we say the Lord Jesus, in him as Christ, what you see? You see his death. You see his burial. Hallelujah. You see that also a power resurrected Jesus. And that same power is available for our raising. Amen.
Amen.
So, 33 to 35 of that Acts 2. It said, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. These manifestations you are seeing, and this is what you are hearing. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The house of Israel crucified Jesus. So Peter said, that Jesus you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. We saw that Lord is an authority of God owning man. Hallelujah. Because he made man for himself. And if they don't own you in that manner, you can't inherit their nature. Because they'll take you through dealings that will wear you out. Amen. Amen. So when they are saying you are experiencing the burial of Jesus, is that you are engaging a force that makes you dead to yourself and makes you alive to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the response which they gave was the basis of their faith. And through the message, 3,000 souls were added to the church. That was the effect that we saw. Look at verse 41 to 42. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So all that is contained in the doctrine of the apostles is further affirmation that God raised Jesus from the dead. God raised this Jesus from the dead. And then by faith in him, we are justified from all things. Hallelujah. Even from the law of Moses. Because for the children of Israel, it was the law of Moses that was the basis of their faith. But God was making a shift. Hallelujah. So that's the content of what we call the apostles' doctrine. Amen.
Amen.
The milk of Christ. When we say milk, we have seen that aside his gifts, he also has his nature, or he also has his manner. Amen. When you have received all that, you have received the name of the Holy Ghost, or you have received the milk of the word, or you have received the apostles' doctrine. Amen.
Amen.
So when they say apostles' doctrine, it's purely milk of Christ. Milk of Christ. Amen. So by the Holy Ghost, many things were done through the hands of the apostles. Many things were done. That they could speak and people's hearts were caught. Holy Ghost was at work. Amen. All those acts we saw, they call it act of apostles, but our Father has said they are actually the act of Holy Ghost who found vessels to walk through. Amen. Amen. So also, it will be act of lovers of God today, but you will just know that it's the act of the Holy Ghost for preparing believers. Amen. For the true experience of Christ unto salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. There's nothing as powerful as preaching Jesus. On whom God, the person who God raised from the dead according to the scriptures. Please tell your neighbor that it is not an old-fashioned message. It's a living word. Thank you very much. I just see that God's word at any level has power. Before they start designing your soul, that beginning word also has power. It has power to generate a kind of life. So if men will truly be born again and begin well and healthy in the gospel without other tools or arms or flesh, then this is the way that has been ordained. You must know that this friend I have, allocation, Holy Ghost, that milk of the world, koitikbe, there are signs you should see and know that this person still needs to hear more word. I believe God is restoring understanding back to church again. So you see that you become strange in the days we are going into to say that I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in Holy Ghost. You just know that an enemy has done the work and has shot you in the feet. So everything the Holy Ghost stands for, we expect that it produces a life. Amen. Amen. The Lord will by mercy restore this understanding back to his body. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So it's not a weak message. That message is potent, is powerful. So the Holy Ghost is waiting to see his mighty hand stretch forth, bringing forth change in the life of men. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost became like a cloak for the apostles. Amen. You see, after that thing happened, after he came, he wore them like a cloak. They were wearing him like a hand glove and walking in the hearts of men. Their words were coming with power. Holy Ghost was doing that job. Amen. Let's see Acts 11, 1 to 5. Acts chapter 11, verse 1 to 5. Can we all read together? And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Praise God. You know, he was explaining to the house of Israel. Now, they have also seen that the Gentiles, their beginning of the gospel was the same entrance they opened to them. But we saw that the house of Israel were saying, Peter. So you see that this is Acts chapter 11 now. A lot has happened in Acts chapter 2. But we still have some people who have a reservation that this thing should be for the children of Israel who are Gentiles. Actually, you and I should have no say if not for the coming of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And so they didn't give Gentiles lesser Holy Ghost. So they will enter Cornelius' house and do what they did to the apostles in the same house of Cornelius, who is primarily not a Jew. Hallelujah. Amen. So Peter was trying to explain. Can you see why we say that place is a beginning mark? Faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints. You see that they were fighting Peter. Why did Peter go to... He had to start explaining to them. He had to start explaining to them that I had an experience, so, and that was what happened there. It's not me. It's not like, but this is beyond us. So Holy Ghost is beyond status. is beyond, where do you come from? He's beyond barrier. As he's meeting fishermen, he's meeting a rich man. As he's meeting artisans, he's meeting people in high places. He's even entering into palaces. Hallelujah. And so you can't box Holy Ghost. And church should not do that. So Peter recounted to them again that experience, because the people expected that if the Gentiles were to come into the faith, they would need to go through a cleansing before they could be accepted. The Jews wondered at how the same gospel preached to them would be taken straight to the Gentiles without any prior cleansing. But Peter made it clear to them that it was not his choice, because left to him, he felt the Gentiles were not qualified for such experiences. Hallelujah. Amen. So the effect we see is faith. Can we say faith?
Faith
in the Lord Jesus? Anybody who has faith in the Lord Jesus, that allocation is for you. Everything he needs is for you. You can pray in tongues. You can prophesy. You can earnestly desire gifts. You can love the saints. Amen. You can be open. Hallelujah. That training is an effect we will see if anybody has won the name of the Holy Ghost. So as they open it to the Jews, so they open it to the Gentile. That can only be Christ. The law could not do that. Amen. The law could only be for a people, and they could not even keep the law, but they brought Christ. So that is why when we preach gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking at his life. Hallelujah. He went to the cross to die, then he was buried, and then he rose again. That should be the content of the gospel of Christ. Amen. We must keep painting how he came to lay down his life for man, how he was buried. And then they thought all was all, but another power rose him up again, which is what we put our faith and our hope in for salvation. Amen.
Amen.
I pray that every knowledge we have received will translate into understanding.
Amen.
Of the person of the Holy Ghost. Let's welcome Daddy.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning,
amen. We need to understand the gospel so we can draw the power inside of it. Or else, for over some time, your faith just becomes weak. And you are trying to carry on and try to belong. So you understand the thing? So there's need to understand the gospel, and we understand it more and more every day. For us in Africa, we don't see sin as the problem. We see sicknesses. We see witchcraft. We see poverty. If anybody gets to you now sincerely and ask you, what's your problem? Sincerely. It's going to be either money or something you're trying to attain, and there's a force impeding you. Okay? I need to have had my promotion, so there's a gang up against me. I ought to have gained my admission, there's something wrong with my jam scores, right? Eh?
Yes, sir.
That's the problem that the Gentile world sees. And it's part of the darkened understanding that the devil had attained with man. You know what made Israel? When he says, he shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now, the Jews, I'm not talking about the Jews today. The Jewish, the fathers, knows that they were in sin because they didn't obey the law of Moses. That's why they came in by repentance. Repent ye, then believe the gospel. So they had something to repent from, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
God had been dealing with their fathers, so they know that there is God's expectation, and they have not met it. And they are blessed as the nation is hanging on that expectation. But Gentiles don't have that. So the law had done something for them. The Lord had brought the awareness of sin. Say amen. Because the real problem of man really is sin. Where we are in Africa is sin. It's sin. We are so blessed here. So blessed. Africa is the most blessed continent in the world. But you look as if we're the most cursed. The eyes of the whole world is on Africa. America will not sleep if we lose Africa. Europe will not, they will not sleep if they lose Africa. Russia will not sleep if they lose Africa. China cannot sleep. So the same land they desire is the land we're running away from. So our problem is not poverty. And that's why. So when gospel comes, I know sometimes God sent people with certain gifts to meet a particular need. Maybe there's sickness ravishing a place. God can anoint a man of God towards that. But that is not really God's target. God's target is that the people can be saved from their sin. That's like after you have done the miraculous in the place and you don't preach the gospel, it's a waste. So there's no gospel, truthfully, there's no gospel of prosperity. There's no gospel of deliverance. I was just thinking about this morning. Paul will treat the gospel that I preached to you, wherein you believe and where you stand. How that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Died for our sins, not for our poverty. But when you hear the word, it died for sickness. The sickness is still is sin. Our sickness is sin. It's not malaria. It's not cancer. And that is very, very, very important to be kept in the gospel. Because that losing touch with that has wasted the church strength. They are wasting our energy. But I want to liberate Africa from poverty. Nobody is sent to liberate Africa from poverty. African poverty is sin. So sometimes we can be sent. I don't know what I'm sent to go and do. Yeah, because you didn't wait to understand. If God says, go and liberate my people from their poverty, you need to ask, which kind of poverty? Yes, when he said to the prophet, cry. He has to ask the Lord, what shall I cry? So it's not but the Lord says, I should go and cry. You should understand the meaning. You should ask him, what shall I cry? So cry is a message, right? So we're saying the gospel, message of saving from sin is from beginning to the end. People say, I haven't been saved from sin. Now what next? You are going to be saved to the uttermost. He's able to save the uttermost, those that come to God by him. So, what we're saying today is that what began the gospel is to be saved from sin. And what the Holy Ghost is doing is to keep. No, you believed it. When you Paul said you believed, right? So all of us began from believing. But you can leave that reality to something else. So they need to emphasize that message until you can trust God for it. When you accept that sin is the problem and you cannot rely on Jesus for salvation from sins. 1 Corinthians 15. Are we here? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also if ye are saved, if you keep in memory, so you can lose the memory of it. Yeah. You can lose memory of it. And that's why Paul say, if I don't want to come and preach another gospel, some things can happen around you that can look so intense that may make you lose the memory of it. The devil can bring someone, can bring a problem that look more intense. I don't know if that's what I'm saying now. Say amen. That can take attention to it. So if you keep in memory what I preach, so you can lose the memory of what I preach. That's not that gospel or by observation of your environment. If you observe your environment or the things the enemy is doing, you can lose the gospel. And so we have lost that gospel many times. That was why we lost the gospel to the gospel of prosperity. And the damage that gospel has done to the church, we have not recovered from it. Because when you drive prosperity message, people respond more easily. Because people see need for prosperity easily. It's an easy gathering. But when you check Act of the Apostle, the people that responded were pricked in their heart. Knew that they were wrong. So the 3,000 you saw, even after healing, and they get God beautiful, Peter preached. So their faith will not be in the healing. I don't know what I'm saying. Because their faith can be in the healing Jesus. Can you imagine a man who has been at the gate called beautiful since Jesus' days? He was there. Everybody knew, they knew him. Suddenly by power stood. So this will not be say, them say, we all knew it. Peter quickly, like same way Peter preached on the Pentecost and interpret the experience. So that's the reason of our preaching is to stay the course. There could be things that happen here, but a preacher stays the course. Because if we lose the course, we lose the essence of the gospel. Because I'm not sure of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Is the power to save man from their sins. Yeah. So your problem, my problem is what? Transgression. So God had to help all the apostles, and that's why they were apostles. They all stayed the course of the message. If you keep in memory what I preached to you. I preach that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. And he was buried, and that he was raised again, or he rose again from the dead on the third day for our sin. So both his death and the burial and resurrection are all a work done for our sin. That is a chocker to the gospel from America. American gospel believe that having gone through sin, you experience glory. Glory is a mark of a finished work of sin. I said again, glory is a mark that sin's work has finished. Because when the making of the building is the mark of replacement of the old. Because we're building of sin before, right? We're building of sin. Now the gospel is rebuilding us. So as it is rebuilding us, what does it mean? It's destroying sin. So if when the building is finished, then sin is finished. That's why for Jesus, though he was a son, he still learned obedience by things which he suffered. But there's still much work to be done for perfection. So sin is not just in what you do wrong is in a building. So the gospel has to be open to know that the job is plenty. So it's not that I've stopped lying, I've stopped fornication, now let me enjoy the glory of God. You need to be rebuilt completely. And Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose from the dead for that purpose. And that is the gospel. That is to say that when you meet any problem with a non-believer, though you are going to minister or pray for that problem, preach the gospel. What is the gospel? Ministration of light to ensure that sin is taken away. If it is before the preaching is being healed, still go ahead and preach it. If you leave him in that state, you have left him in a sin. And Jesus said, that woman said, go and sin no more. Thou that has been healed, go. So it means that the major issue is not even the restoration of your sight. You know what I'm saying now? I mean, that woman that was caught in adultery. Go and sin no more. So that word, go and sin no more, is a whole work of a whole life. Because if you start that program, you are going to go into that program till you leave this world. Go and sin no more. It's not that from now, you don't have the power to go and sin no more. But he was saying it to a woman, enter into the gospel plan that will make you go and sin no more. So I want us to know that that's the beginning of the gospel that the Holy Ghost actually is committed to. If you say you want to experience more of the Holy Ghost, then commit more to preaching the gospel. You will experience the Holy Ghost. If you don't do that, you will be doing false Holy Ghost things, yes. And you can be tempted to bring all manner of falsehood into it, to keep making people feel Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, your job is conversion. To convict the soul, to make the soul know that you are wrong. You need to be right by the gospel. Say amen. Amen. So, what am I saying today? I'm just saying that the beginning of the gospel actually is like the map plan of what the whole gospel represents. What we begin with, we're going to all do through the gospel. The same thing you're going to do when you come to the gospel of Christ. You know, say, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Are you with me here?
Yes,
of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, under the name of the Holy Ghost, it's meant to prepare you for the name of the Son. Name of the Son, prepare you for the name of the Father. Is that right? And the Father's name bring you, open to the Godhood himself. So, all the names, go and check them. It is dealing with sin. Sin in different forms. Either work of the flesh, unrighteousness, say amen, worldly lust, ungodliness, blindness, I went in the house, please, transgression, thoughts, motions. When it goes deeper, it goes beyond what you see, it goes into the realm of thoughts, the realm of, the word of God, and will, intentions, purposes. Otherwise speaking, you don't see those things as sin, right?
Yes,
because it's not sin. So the gospel is to expose sin as sin is sin and to produce remedy for those sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Lord is going to preserve the gospel again.
Amen.
That's why in the last days, the gospel of the kingdom will preach again and it must be well understood. Amen. Preaching the gospel requires understanding, or else experiences can shift your mind from the gospel. Imagine if you had Philip and you go to Samaria and Philip preached Christ. Well, that was what he met apostles preaching. So he preached Christ in Samaria and the old Samaria turned to the Lord with unusual miracles. So if you are not stable in the message, you continue with the miracle. So when he said he went back to the apostles to come and minister the Holy Ghost to them, he went back to them for the message to continue. So when they come, it's not only the Holy Ghost they minister to them, they also emphasize the message the more. Because you can lose that whole harvest if the message is lost. So it will just become one great Philip. One mighty evangelist Philip. Carnality is in us because what is sensational is always attractive. So you need revelation to keep the light burning. Or else manifestation will redirect the path.
Yes,
I don't know if I'm saying that. If it's not revealed and you have not been grounded in it, wherein ye stand. So we need people who have used the gospel and they are standing by the gospel to hold the gospel and preach more of the gospel. Or else we can lose it. When we lose it, then evil will multiply. Like we are seeing today in Nigeria. Large number of churches, weak government, weak authority. So somebody came into the church and ate the church from within. Because we lost touch with the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm just coming in to say that the gospel can be lost. The church can continue. Preaching can continue. And the gospel has been lost. But sometimes when you attach, many times we do a gospel of, we can preach sin and attach breakthrough to it. That is, if you stop your sin and you prosper. That's not the gospel. God didn't attach, he didn't attach natural blessing to the gospel. He attached spiritual blessing to the gospel. I don't know what I'm saying now. So it makes also the gospel more meaningful. Somebody's in trouble. If you believe now, what if there are many who have believed the gospel, who have believed the gospel, who died? Who were sick? Are you in the house, please? And died in that sickness after they believe.
Yes. Yes.
Is the gospel still potent?
Yes.
Has the gospel worked?
Yes.
So we cannot make the gospel sweeter to save people. Because sometimes we make the gospel look sweeter to save people. But when they come to the gospel, they find that what we promise them is not available. So it's not primarily to completely remove challenges in the world we live in, because this world, for example, is temperate to under sin. It's under the sway of Satan. And it's not every problem we've been able to solve. But the promise of life still remains. So the gospel is valid to say that God has promised us eternal life. And because of that, we believe. Not earthly satisfaction. Because some people gave up their earthly whatever for the gospel to thrive. But they saw a better resurrection. Are we in the house, please? Aha. So it's not the earthly breakthrough, it's not a sign. Like they say in First Timothy, who preach that gain is godliness. Or when you are godly, you will have gain. No. When you are godly, you will have God.
Hallelujah.
And those things must be maintained in the gospel. So anybody who wants, that's why in their days, people don't, they don't just join anyhow. They think before they join. They think, am I ready for these people who are Allah? So the Holy Ghost will go and convict them that you need to join them. Without conviction, you don't join just by interest. There's nothing about their physical life that is looking too fine. So Holy Ghost, go ahead and say, believe the gospel. It's true. Gospel is true. Though my life, but it's true. So they believe because they heard God spoke. And they believe that God is true. Say, amen. That's why the last place I'm reading, Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read the place there. Talk about the gospel of salvation. That should be 6, verse 16. Okay, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye also trusted. So it means that the door of trust is a common door for every believer. I don't know if I'm saying now. Say amen.
Amen.
And that's why the apostles will go back to the churches they have planted to go and confirm. If they are still putting their if they still have their faith in the Lord, then they are trusting. Don't believe for a long time without trust. Then we go back. So it has to go from, your belief has to go into realm of trust. To still maintain that this is what I need. And this is what Jesus is to me. And I still stay in that conviction and presentation of gospel as the need of my life. Say amen. Because you can stop believing that your sin is the problem. You can just say, God, if my sin is broken, then bless me first. Human mind is funny. As I land on your bed, discussion is going on. On what to believe in church, or what you had in church. What you had in church is does not remain in you till the next Sunday. You have traded with your armor. So, for what you had in church, which is the truth, to still stay in your heart next Sunday. You have engaged more against all that conversation of the enemy, right? So when you are doing that, what are you doing? You are building your trust. So there's the emphasis of keeping preaching for trust to be built. Trust must be built. People must cross, I believe Jesus as my Savior. That I trust Jesus for my family. I trust that this is the plan for my redemption. And I stay within the plan. I come in the plan. Even if I leave this old territory and in the U.S., the plan continues. Now when you leave this country, poverty may not look like this one anymore. Abi? At least the major issues of your problem. NEPA is gone. It's not my issue. Say amen. What is it again? Bad road is gone. Terrorism is gone. It looks safer. Amen. And really, there's food to eat. If you are not choosing the food to eat, you will get food to eat. It's when you are choosing food that we have a problem. But generally, you don't have food to eat. So basic things here that are your problem before that can push to the gospel could have been solved. But your real problem has not been solved. So when you understand the gospel this way, anywhere you are in the world, you can preach the gospel. Now, if you're mad about the gospel, it's what you have in Africa. When you get to some places, they don't need the gospel. They don't need the gospel because they don't have your issues. And by reason of their system there, they're not even used to amassing property like Nigeria. Some countries don't live by our psyche of how to buy good, big land, big house, big car. Even when their economy is so good, that's not their disposition. Say, hey, amen. So it's our disposition here about it. When you build a small house, you somebody will build a bigger one as richer than you. Show you, I'm saying that. There are places in the world where they are rich, they don't build a big house because they don't need it. They rather build more to rent out for more prosperity. Show you understand what I'm saying that. So the mindset, and also we get to that place, they don't need what you are saying. And that's why when some of the Nigerian preachers get there, they misbehave. Because they still want to take the gospel here there and tell them, you have to sow $1,000. They want $1,000 to a white man, $1,000. That's an ad-end money, $1,000. So with they react again. What kind of a gospel is this one? Just is the foolishness of Africa we take down there. Because in Africa, you can ask people to give a billion of naira. So, what I'm saying is that, because we're saying this because God is training us for a global harvest, okay? I don't believe that you are staying here and you are brought here to remain this four corner forever. Reasons can be that you've been nations and most of our people who are outside the country. You need to understand the gospel. Yes, the first day I stepped into the UK, I knew that this would meet Jesus. From the airport. So when you have the gospel, you see need everywhere you go. Every day I just say, Father, what kind of, Lord Jesus, the atmosphere here. You see the need of the gospel. You see the need to say something. The next person you see that is coming to you, you are looking for opportunity to share, to ship in something. Because they are not in touch. They are dead. They are not in touch. They live like zombie. But yet, it looks as if that's prosperity. Say hey, amen. So please, that's the job of the Holy Ghost, to make you trust, okay? The Holy Ghost, if he comes with his gift, is to make you trust. If he comes with healing, is to make you trust. Whatever he does, it's not just for your enjoyment, it's to make you trust. If you don't trust, the first part of salvation is not done. In whom also he is trusted. After that, ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that, ye believed, ye were saved. So, what they call belief there is, in whom also ye trust, after ye trusted, ye were sealed. So, normally, if you are not, if not trusting, you can't be sealed with the name of the Holy Ghost. Say, hey, amen. So, it's take bubbling in faith in the Lord Jesus to keep the Holy Ghost increasing. To keep the Holy Ghost increasing and to build the attitudes of the Holy Ghost. Because you can have the gift of the Holy Ghost and not have the attitude of the Holy Ghost. A man is trusting in Christ, we have the life of the Holy Ghost. Do you get it now? And that is the fact that to tell us that something went wrong with what we were doing before, people have gifts, they don't have the life. Maybe somebody is speaking in tongues, who is speaking in tongues, he doesn't know he has to live a holy life. There's an holiness at that level. Abi? When those people lied, Holy Ghost came in. So at that level, you should not be lying. That kind of lie should not be in that place. So at every level, there's a measure of holiness he brings in there. If indeed you were trusting or were continuing the message of Jesus Christ who died, who was buried, and was raised from the dead. Thank you very much. God bless you.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.